In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
On Thursday of this week, President Trump signed an executive order aimed at weakening the enforcement of the Johnson Amendment. Johnson as in then-Senator, later President Johnson. This is a law that bars churches and pastors from discussing political candidates or engaging in other political activities. Although that executive order itself raises a bigger issue, who do you want involved in politics? Christians in your community or a billionaire working in the shadows who's never even been to your community, who, through his hundreds of millions of dollars, can tilt the vote in your community and in your state through paid organizers, paid lawyers, paid protesters, and paid professional agitators? That's the focus of today's show. Well, one focus anyway. The billionaires working in the shadows to force their anti-American views on America. In particular, George Soros. If you heard last week's show, you heard about Senate Bill 719A, which has been called Oregon's gun confiscation bill. That did indeed pass the Senate, and it is headed to the House, where it is also likely to pass before heading off to the governor, and she has already said that she will sign it. That bill was passed thanks in large parts to the efforts of the anti-gun lobby, and they are paid for by George Soros, along with the help of other people like Michael Bloomberg, you know, the billionaire mayor out of New York City who sees extra-large sodas as dangerous as guns. Soros also pays heavily into far-left environmental causes. As we have said here on iSpy, healthcare is how the left controls people, the environmental movement is how the left controls industry and corporations. On today's show, we're going to start out talking about the potential sale of the Elliott State Forest, which is in the Coast Range northeast of Coos Bay. Before we get going, if you're near a computer, head to iSpyRadio.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a link to our Take Action page. Head there now, because if you are for common sense use of our state lands, you'll want to take action. After Dr. Zyback, we'll be talking George Soros with Ron Arnold, who for the last two decades has tracked the money on the left, and Soros in particular. Did I mention that one of Soros's former staff members told Ron all about Soros's operations? Yeah, you'll want to stick around for that. Up first, I'd like to welcome Dr. Zyback. He's got a PhD from the Oregon State University Environmental Sciences Program. His specialties include forest sciences, cultural anthropology, public education, and his academic focus was on environmental sciences education. And Bob, it's been a long time, it seems, but welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
So in the news right now is this plan to sell the Elliott Forest, and there's been a lot of back and forth in terms of the rightness or the wrongness of it. Why don't you fill us in and kind of give us a 30,000-foot view of the current situation?
Okay. The Elliott Forest is established specifically for school funds, and that's the way it operated for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And then in the 90s, the spotted owl and marbled murrelet problems started arising. And then about 2010, it reached such a point that logging was essentially made illegal as set up on the Elliott, and so it lost money, and it's lost money on average over the last 5 years.
Are we talking a large amount of money or just kind of little insignificant ones?
Well, it's millions of dollars, but $2 and $3 and $5 million, and it should be making 15 or 20 or 25 million. So yeah. it's a difference of 20 or 25 million a year between potential income and actual income.
Wow.
So the decision was made to sell it, but then the sales restrictions were really odd. Over 50 people were going to bid on it. Then the restrictions were such that only a single bid came in, and it was for a fixed rate. It was only $220 million, and it's estimated that there's at least $600 or $800 million in standing board feet of timber on the land, and then there's the value of the land. So we're selling $800 million or maybe even $1 billion worth of land and timber that was supposed to be set aside for a school fund to a single bidder
yeah.
at a fixed rate. So
who is it that they are planning to sell to?
Lone Rock put in the sole bid, and they formed some kind of partnership with the Cow Creeks. So that's the single bid. And because the price is so low, there's been a lot of upset about it. The environmental groups had plenty of chance to put in their own bid, but didn't. So that's where we're at.
Well, and so what are they planning to do with the land if they are able to acquire it? Are they going to take the timber off, or what are they looking at doing?
You mean Lone Rock?
Yes.
Or the state?
Lone Rock
has 10 years, and they've got to set aside, I think, 25% of the older trees. They've got to open up half the land to recreation. They've got to have 10 full-time direct and indirect jobs. But they've got artificial buffers along the creeks, and it's assumed that a lot of the current regulations, endangered species regulations, will still be in effect.
Well,
that's the reason the price is so low.
Well, aside from the economics of it, is there anything else that is especially concerning to you about just outright selling it to this group?
Well, I've been for privatization of government lands for decades, but selling it at a fixed rate, at such a low fixed rate, I think is unfair to the schools. Plus, I think we have a real opportunity to gain a lot of value, not only from the timber, but from the Elliott itself.
Hmm. What do you mean by that, by the Elliott itself?
Well, our proposal, the Giese Plan proposal, is for a 20-year educational effort on the Elliott, in which the riparian areas would be managed separately, and then the forested areas would be divided up by sub-basin between wildlife advocates and the law, school fund.
Okay.
And so
for
a 20-year period.
Actually, let's hold off on discussing that, because that's going to take quite a bit to go through. We'll talk about that in the next segment.
Okay.
In terms of the current sale, it's just come out recently that Governor Kate Brown is all of a sudden getting kind of hesitant about this. Do you have any ideas why?
Well, I think she listened a lot to groups of people who are really concerned about selling state land. This is our first state forest, and it's been very productive through the years. So there's a concern, and I think she reconsidered. And at the last meeting, February 14th, she proposed that the state put out a $100 million bond and essentially purchase part of the forest from itself, and then manage that for wildlife.
We only got about a minute here with you in this segment. Secretary of State Dennis Richardson is also suddenly interested in that. Do you have any idea why he's suddenly gotten on board?
Well, I think people are looking at the numbers. The numbers are so low for the sale, and then it's such a final decision, and it's going to raise a lot of legal issues. So I think they're reconsidering that strategy.
Huh. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Giese Plan that Bob alluded to earlier. It is a plan that could actually make environmental sense, yes, even here in Oregon. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Dr. Bob Zybak, and his specialties are forest sciences, cultural anthropology, and public education. Talking about the plan to sell the Elliott Forest, which is over on the west, really on the coastal areas there of Oregon. And we touched a little bit briefly in the previous segment about the Giese Plan. And this is something that's been around for a while. Why don't you recap that for us again?
Okay. Wayne Giese is 97 years old, and for the last 30 years he's been proposing that the government lands in Oregon, specifically the federal lands, be divvied up between environmental factions and making jobs and products for American people, the main mission of the forests, and that riparian areas be managed separately. So this idea would be to resolve the timber wars, and so there'd be something for everybody, recreational use, bird habitat, jobs.
Hmm. And from what I can see, it is a truly common sense plan. As you say, it marries a lot of the interests of Oregonians here. Oregonians like their forests, and rightfully so. We also like to cut them down, and rightfully so, because you may generate an awful lot of money for that. And as we discussed in the previous segment, the Elliott Forest was established as part of the Common School Fund. These are state lands that are supposed to be generating income for the schools. And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of the income and the jobs that would be created as part of this plan?
Okay, the Elliott is all second growth forest, very young trees. It all burned up in 1868. But the cutting schedule in the 1980s was about 50 million board feet a year. That's 500 direct and indirect jobs as opposed to 10 from the sale. So that's a lot of rural jobs, local jobs for Coos County and Douglas County. It would also generate $460 million, according to state economists, over a 20-year period. Hmm. So if we had this plan implemented for a 20-year period, we would pull in twice as much as we would for a sale. We would still own the land. It would be 100% open to recreation, and it would be a perfect opportunity to do a comparison between different management approaches.
Hmm. And the way that the plan works, and we'll link this PDF up on iSpyRadio.com, just look in the show resources section. And what it does is it takes the 80,000-some acres of the Elliott State Forest, it divides it into sub-basins, between 24 and 30 of them, and each one of those would be anywhere between 1,000 and 5,000 acres. But then each of those sub-basins, the 24 to 30 of them, fall into one of two categories. One is an active forest management for maximum common school fund income, as described by law. And then the other category would be old growth wildlife habitat with a focus on the various endangered species that are there. Again, I think this is so common sense. I mean, it addresses both interests. And you're talking about an area of Oregon, especially in terms of the income side of things. I mean, these are counties that have been devastated by the cutbacks in the timber industry.
Coos Bay is importing timber from Canada.
Yeah. How absurd
right
is
now.
That?
Yep. It's the old Coles to Newcastle thing. We've had the forest shut down, the federal and state forests, and privatizing them is a good opportunity. But if that's going to be done, it should be done at a high bid, highest bid. It shouldn't be at a fixed rate, and it should be an open market. But there's no reason to sell it. And here's an opportunity with modern internet communications to monitor the two different management approaches over time by our school kids and our teachers and our professors, and to see what the actual results of management are as far as wildlife populations, income, aesthetics, and so on.
Yeah. Well, and it not only allows for the creation of jobs, but for those that want to, you know, do ecotourism and whatnot, it sounds like they can go in and they can set up campgrounds and whatnot to allow access to the forest, does it not?
That would be encouraged. Recreational and educational uses of the forest would be encouraged. Access would be maintained at 100%, not 50%. So, yes, those types of things would be anything that could be used to for educational purposes, whether it's to generate an income for the school fund or to learn about forest management, would be greatly encouraged.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I think is really fascinating about this plan is that it really sets up, it also addresses education. So that we can go in and you'd have these Oregon College students and educators going in, setting up various studies where they could find out, you know, how the various wildlife populations thrive, the impact of recreational uses, all sorts of things. And why don't you address that a little bit?
Well, and don't forget about the third graders. Watching salmon spawn, watching
yes.
logging operations, monitoring it by remote sensing, as we can do now, digital video and so on, monitoring the income levels, seeing how the money's invested. Mm. These are all really good, excellent learning opportunities for a whole generation of Oregonians. So at the end of 20 years, if they decide to sell it, it would be as knowledgeable sellers.
Yeah.
Or if they decide to continue managing, they would have a real solid basis for management decisions, and then that would serve as a demonstration for our federal lands, hopefully.
Okay, and we've only got about 30 seconds here. Real quick, because there was only one bidder, does that impact this, or are they able to open it back up for more bids?
They can't open it back up. It looks like there's a fair chance that they're going to back out of the sale, and hopefully this proposal, the Elliott Educational Forest proposal, will be accepted and seriously considered as an option.
Okay, and if people want to help get this through, when is the next meeting for people to attend?
May 9th at 10 o'clock, that's the Oregon Land Board meeting. In the meantime, all decisions are made by the governor, the secretary, and the treasurer. So those would be the people and representatives for individuals to talk to before then.
Okay, great. Bob, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
The committee meeting for this is coming up fast this Tuesday. If you'd like to send them your thoughts on the sale of the Elliott State Forest, head to iSpyRadio.com and head to the Take Action page. Just look for that in the upper right-hand corner on the menu. And coming up, Ron Arnold. We'll be talking with him about George Soros, the man behind so much of what is wrong with America.